You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Oh yeah. You're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toilet Bowl Radio Show. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill. With me, of course, I've got the internet's enemy. I'm talking, of course, about Brennaside. Brenna, how are you?
Oh yeah, man. Just maximum heel energy all day, every day. I feel like I've established that fuck you heat, like that fuck off heat a long time ago, where, you know, no one just orders the pay-per-view anymore, but that's okay. I'm still here to entertain until, you know, my bones are just too brittle to take it. So I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
Oh man, our financials are in shambles. Like, yep. we keep bringing on established characters from other factions. We immediately turn them into a racist caricature, and nobody tunes in.
That's too bad. That's too bad. Maybe we can make our money back by going to problematic nations and doing our show there. But nonetheless,
yeah, I've got a platoon of slaves building us a new stadium in Saudi Arabia. We should be good to go.
We should just do this podcast from Saudi Arabia.
I mean, I'm sure that we get like an awesome, tax benefit for doing that. Like the government of both nations just gives us a massive check for doing so.
They just give me like a golden bejeweled egg just for showing up.
Oh, hell yeah. I want that orb. Give me the fucking orb.
I want that orb, man. I was a little too early. I pre-nutted on the orb wizard stuff. Like we've been doing Wizard Wednesdays for fun in my internet circle for a long time, but, it's only recent that wizards are now a meme, and it's all about that orb.
You know, I gotta say, I see some Wizard Wednesday posting occasionally, and, I've never joined in because I'm just salty that Wizard Wednesday interferes with new episode of Toilet Radio Wednesday.
valid. But nonetheless, we'll make this one a good one. We're going to talk about, various things. We got a lot of things on the docket today. Joe, specifically, do you have anything in front of you that you want to tackle first? And
yeah,
what I mean, tackle first, I'm talking about metal news.
No. Yeah, we got plenty of that. I got a gang of that shit just ready to uncork whenever we need to. But I do want to discuss a couple of other things.
Fine.
For example, I didn't think about this until 5 minutes ago. But did you know that, like, pretty sure it's going to be Thanksgiving when this episode goes live?
Is it?
Yeah, man.
No. Thanksgiving's on Thursday. They're going to get this shit hot and ready on a Wednesday. This is going to be the appetizer that you just stand around and stuff into your mouth while you're waiting for this overwhelmed, like, weepy mother to just, like, you know, get the rest of the wares out and about for you to finally eat. This is like that shrimp cocktail that she ran under a faucet sink to de-thaw for you.
Here's the thing. Like, I've got to work every day next week. And if you don't like holidays or gatherings or things like that, I know Jordan, he's on this big crusade against the holidays. He hates them. Just work at a hospital, man. Like they won't let you go.
Yeah.
You just gotta serve sick people like a fucking frozen turkey patty. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. I guess when it comes to like the holidays, people get more hurt and sick than ever. So if you like, you're like, usually everyone's like, oh, it's Christmas, I can't work on a Christmas. But those are the days that people are most likely to have, like, you know, the Christmas tree fall and kill their asshole or something. So they just have to go to, you know, they got the star up the butt. They got to get it removed.
Yeah, everybody's like butt-chugging wassail, and like, you know, then they play with leftover fireworks from the 4th of July, and, you know, suddenly, like, they got a fistula, and then I got to deal with them.
Most drunken fist fights happen on the holidays, you know, because you got family, you got booze. Who thinks this is a good idea? Once you're born, and you're raised, and you're financially stable, just fucking separate forever. Just move on.
Granted, like, we probably have a lot of listeners that love their families or whatever, which, okay.
They all listen to metal. It's impossible. Death metal listeners, I mean, there's not a good parent among any of you, and you know it.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying though. If you're like one of those people that gets all agitated around the holidays or whatever, just fucking work in healthcare. That way you can't be lonely when you're surrounded by dying people.
Nope.
That's my little tip of the week, folks. You know, take that for what you will. On with the metal news.
On with the metal news. Okay,
you sounded like what is that Aboriginal instrument?
It could be. I mean, I was going for the Mongolian throat singing thing, but a didgeridoo. I can do a didgeridoo.
That was a didgeridoo. You want to try another didgeridoo sound? That's pretty good.
That was lightning in a bottle. It's never happening again.
We've got like 1.5 Australian listeners, so we need to get their feedback on that. Is that an authentic didgeridoo experience? Let us know in the comments below. On with the metal news, brother.
Sure. What do we talk about first? There's just so much to discuss. You know, this morning, and this is unrelated to the news I want to talk about, but this morning I was going down and I saw on consequence.net. They had done a rundown of Mastodon's albums, like all we're up to like 12, maybe 11 albums. And someone had decided to rank those albums from very worst to very best.
All right. I did not see this. So what you're giving me now is brand new information. So give me a second to process. I mean, I know that everybody's got their favorite Mastodon album. And I feel like, you know, most of the folks that I know, they're a little bit ornery, a little bit set in their ways, and they prefer things like Leviathan, you know?
Leviathan, I would say that objectively speaking, that's got to be number one for just about everyone I know, and it sounds like you included, right? That's the best one.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I will say that among like the Georgia sludge bands or whatever they called that, you know, group of four bands in the early 2000s, Mastodon's not my favorite. So that puts me out a little bit from some of the other fellers. But, you know, I still enjoy a Mastodon from time to time.
Huh. What is your favorite sludge band?
I wouldn't even call it fucking sludge. Just the music writers of the day lumped all these Georgia bands into. It's Baroness.
Baroness, yeah, that Relapse record sound. Baroness is great. I fucking love Baroness, man.
Yeah.
So let's go through the list real quick. By the way, there are 8 albums. I don't know where I got that fucking squirrely ass number. I'm just getting, you know.
Give or take 4, it's fine. All right. What do we got?
4 albums is really hard to write unless you're Psycho Sinner or something like that. I'm way ahead of the game. So anyway, absolute worst album at number 8 is The Hunter from 2011.
Really?
Yeah. Change your hair. Change your clothes.
I mean, I really don't have like major beef with that record. I don't know if that's like anathema or whatever. I don't hate any of these records. Some I just don't really want to listen to.
Do you want to know what this guy says is the second absolute worst Mastodon album?
All right, give it to me.
Number 7, Remission from 2002.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
No one should ever fucking agree with that. Why is there not a comment section here so I can tell him some things that are slurs and not to be said these days? Fucking guy. Oh, that makes me so angry. That's the stupidest take. That is the stupidest take. What's this guy?
Who's the writer on this one?
Scroll wheel. All right, I'm gonna stop. This is damn dude, you got your full name on here? John Hadusek.
Hadusek?
Hadusek. Hadusek. John Hadusek. Yeah, this is him. He's been covering heavy music for A Consequence of Sound since 2012.
Johnny, oh, yeah, what's right. going on? Consequence of Sound is now Consequence. I forgot.
Yeah. What are you doing, Johnny boy? Come on. Fuck that. It's a bad take. All right. Scroll wheeling down loudly and audibly. Number 6 is Emperor of Sand. They're 2017. That was the semi-recent one.
Yeah, I didn't really jam super hard on that one, to be honest with you.
Right, so it kind of does belong sort of higher up on the list. But I will say that I thought Emperor of Sand was a much better album than the one that comes higher up, which is Once More Around the Sun in 2014.
I kind of liked that one a lot, actually. Like, that was the last one that I probably listened to multiple times.
I don't know.
It's fine. It's whatever.
Hushed and Grim, that's number four. That's the latest and greatest from 2021.
I haven't even heard that one.
Oh, it's a good album. It's very long, though. It's got like, it's like an hour plus worth of material. It's like a double LP sized album.
See, that's a tougher sell for me right now, man. Like, yeah. I got a very, very narrow attention span.
Yeah, dude,
so a band that I like coming out and saying, hey, we've got, you know, an hour plus of material for you to listen to. I'm just like,
90 minutes in length. Hushed and Grim is officially Mastodon's first double album. So long, too long. All right. Number three. Do you want to take a guess? Do you want to roll the dice on this one?
Surely, because, you know, he's kind of coming off a little squirrely, he's going to put Leviathan at three, right?
You're exactly right. Leviathan is number three. Just a fucking completely wrong person who just clearly is not qualified to be setting up this list whatsoever. This is just a bad list.
All right. Well, what's two then?
It's Blood Mountain. So that leaves us with number one being Crack the Sky.
I don't know. I don't know about any of this, man. It just seems a little bit off to me.
This is definitely like a Hate Clicks generation sort of take. This is not designed to do anything but to be contrarian and silly. This is very silly. I don't agree with this at all.
I feel like Dr. Manhattan about this shit, though. I'm like floating on the moon just above all of this petty human bullshit. I don't care what your favorite record is. I don't care what your least favorite record is, because my taste alone is correct.
Right. If I were to rearrange this list, I would say Leviathan would be number one, Remission would be number two. You know what? Essentially, I would just go in order of how they were released. I think Leviathan and Remission will take that'll be the one that gets flipped, but everything else is just like, as they put out more records, the less I like them. Because I'm just an ornery old fart piece of shit.
That's how it is with every fucking band, though. Like, if you find a band, you become a contemporary fan of a band as they're ramping up, as they're releasing records, you're obviously going to feel more affinity to the records like that are earlier on. I don't know of any band that I'm a fan of where I'm like, you know, the later material really kills the earlier stuff. Like, no, that's just not the case. You follow with it. You're intense at the beginning, and then it peters off because 10 years later, you don't care about a double LP.
Right. The only band that is past that rule would be Genesis. All of their later material is way better. Just the terrible 90s stuff. That's actually the good stuff. That's the kicker.
I can't say that I'm super familiar with any of the Genesis material that like music fans are like, you know, this is really pretty brilliant, because all I want to hear is like, like the super cheesy late 80s synthesizer stuff, you know?
Like, I Can't Dance, that's their best song. Just objectively, ranking the list of Genesis output, that's it. So,
wait, I Can't Dance? Isn't that fucking Don Henley?
No, that's Genesis.
All right, give me one second. I'm fucking Googling. I'm Googling on my phone. Holy shit, this entire time I thought that was fucking Don Henley.
Nah, bro, it's Phil Collins singing from Genesis.
Shit, man. All right. I guess that's all right then, yeah.
So now you know. Now you know it's the best.
Yeah, I prefer Invisible Touch. That's my jam, you know?
Oh, excellent.
She's got Invisible Touch. Rides my podium.
Yeah, I'm sure every death metal fan we have is still listening. So after I insulted their parents, and now I'm just only talking about Genesis on the show. So
I posted a dumb thing on Twitter this morning where I was basically threatening to talk about dumb bullshit unless people said that they wanted me to talk about other dumb bullshit. We got Tobias Holst here, who says, I just want to hear you guys pronounce a list of foreign bands.
You got to send us said list.
Yeah, no, I asked him to send us said list. And here's what I'm going to do for you.
Okay.
I'm putting this in our DMs right now, okay?
Okay.
I'm sliding into your DMs with Tobias's list here. And I'm pretty sure I know how to pronounce all of these motherfuckers. So I want you to take a look. I want you to sound it out in your head. And then we're gonna put this on the mic because I think that we're polyglots, right? Like we can do this.
Oh, I got this one. Yeah. All right. So there's just three bands. They're all from, oh, they're all Danish. We're fucked. We're screwed. We're not.
I'm fucking entirely fluent in whatever language they speak in Danish.
Okay. So I really like that first band. So that's hard for me. But Mole, and then maybe the O has more of a on it or something. Some shit I can't do with my American mouth.
Well, yeah, you got the O with the fucking line through it, right?
Right. Mazero L. That's how that's pronounced. It's Danish. It's the Danish word for moth, right? So.
Yes, it certainly is. That's, yeah, we all know that. I'm pretty sure it's pronounced mule.
Mule?
Yeah, you know, like when a horse fucks a donkey.
And, oh, I know, like, about a horse fucking a donkey, okay.
Yeah, the offspring is not really viable to reproduce on its own. So you've got not a horse, not a donkey, but a mule.
Also, you can get some like alcoholic ginger beer that has like the lime wedge in it. That's pretty good. It's
That's a Moscow mule. So it uses like a backwards R in there somewhere.
Speaking of backwards R's, this next, I mean, most of the letters for this word just look like berserk to me.
Berserk. That's like, right, motherfuckers. I know what a schwa is, you pieces of shit.
It's like that thingy they named Elon Musk's baby or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's the A and the E, and they're squished together, and it's called a schwa.
It's like an ampersand. I'm going to start putting fucking ampersands all over my tweets just to get back at you people.
But this it looks like it says berserk, right? Is that what you think it's pronounced like?
I can't even imagine how it would be pronounced in Danish tongue, but I'm just going to go with berserk because the word definitely has to be berserk.
I think that's what it roughly translates to, but it's actually pronounced Bozark.
Bozark.
Yeah, it's like the Ozarks, you know. They've got their own, like, you know, haulers and hillbillies and in Danish land, so it's Bozark.
And then the next one, BAEST, as in Danish people are the best people.
They're the best.
They're the best.
And there you go. That is your foreign band corner. We can close the door on that and get back to the show.
Yeah, we'll try to do some Norwegian ones next time. So I was bringing up Mastodon specifically for a few reasons. One, I thought the rundown was stupid and I didn't agree with that guy's list, which I'm not going to agree with any guy's list. It's the internet. Why do I even read them? But there was some news recently about Brent Hinds being drunk and angry and a little older than we realize he is, just kind of running his mouth on an interview and saying some stuff he shouldn't have said.
Yeah, if you followed the band for any amount of time, you'll know that Brent Hinds is he's the most successful gas station employee in Georgia.
Yeah, right. He's not. Like, if you've ever seen an interview with him, the ones where he's happy or the ones when he's just impossibly stoned, like, I think there was some Orange Amplifier interview where he's just talking about his new amp, or it was like on Zounds.com just talking about the amp, but all he talked about was like, you know, space and flowers and stuff. He was just high as shit. So, like, those are good interviews, but I'm sure when he's not high, he's a cranky guy, so this must
when
be one of
those moments. When he's not high, he's drunk. Like, he's got a... My man's got a bit of a problem.
Just a little bit.
Because I remember back in, I'm going to say 2006, I remember it, he got wasted, and he knocked the teeth out of the mouth of this indie musician called, like, King Khan. I don't know if you remember that.
I think I do remember that. I also remember how he got like knocked out by the bassist from System of a Down and he hit his head on a curb and was put in a coma.
That's right. Yeah, my man has a long history of getting wasted and getting in sloppy ass fights.
Yeah, he's not to be really trusted with himself, as far as I could tell. So this actually
and one other little fun detail. I remember that he was posting pictures of like his new house, in which case, and all of these pictures he just has like Glocks laying out on the coffee table on the nightstand. It's like. There is nothing better to have with an easy reach of like an easily set off drunk than a loaded firearm.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's Georgia for you. You can just take a couple $100 and buy them in any store and walk out with a little Walmart bag of it. It's fine. So,
yeah, I went to see my folks not too long ago, and I walk in, and on the kitchen counter on top of like some medical paperwork is my stepmom's fucking hot pink Glock. That like is loaded, had one in the chamber, does not have a safety on it. I'm just like, what exactly are you planning right now?
Well, you came to visit. That must be a message, right?
I picked it up and like I pull the slide back. I'm like, why do you have one chambered right now?
Oh God.
Anyway,
so
rural. Let's not say rural because that's not even accurate because, you know, Brett Hines lives in fucking Atlanta. It's Southern people do dumb just, bullshit.
Once you just go over a certain line drawn in the sand of America, you just deal with this stuff. So look, Brett Hines was going off and on all places. He was on Jamie Joss's podcast. And he was talking about how he regretted going on certain tours because Mastodon back in the early days, they did do a lot of stuff as a working band. They did open for a lot of bigger bands and stuff. And I'm sure some of them he might not have been so cool with, but this one, he's just loud and proud about it. So Brent Hines says, I did a lot of tours I didn't want to do, though, like Disturbed and all that mayhem, stupid bullshit, remarked Hines before using the offensive slur, gay ass shit. He continued, you gotta fucking open up for Disturbed. You gotta play to people that like Disturbed. It was the Mayhem Fest, you know, just a bunch of fucking drunks, bunch of fucking drunk Americans. They're receptive to anything, I imagine. So, he got in a little trouble for that. People were mad that he just said gay ass shit about anything.
About Disturbed. Like, I'm supposed to pretend that that's not very funny.
I mean, it's funny because just knowing who he is.
Like, it's an aging drunk that's just talking. He's just talking out of his wasted mouth. It's like,
you can't hold this guy up to a higher regard. You know, this is not that he has so much evidence in regards to the fact that you should never meet your heroes. In this case, if this one happens to be your hero, he's just not like he's not with it, man.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. You're like, I'm able to laugh at this because I don't really respect Brent Hines in any way.
Yeah, this doesn't break my heart. It's not something that I would have put past him in a million years to come out and say. The drummer, Bron Daler, publicly apologized.
Like, this guy is the fucking damage control captain. He doesn't deserve this fucking shit.
Absolutely. He's the drummer. He should have the least say when it comes to the band's PR, you know, like leave him alone. Great fucking drummer, though. I mean, you know, he
great
really
drummer.
Makes
me- he seems like a very sweet dude. I would feel very differently if this story was about him calling David Draymond gay ass shit, you know.
So specifically what had happened is our boy Bron Daler, he put up a Halloween costume post on Instagram where he was dressed in a really great Rob Halford costume. He had all the leather daddy shit on. It looked good. Morgan E. Evans, who's a LGBTQ writer for the website Metal Riot, called Mastodon out on the Instagram post and wrote the following. As an LGBTQ supporter of the band who has seen you live 3 times, written you up many times in magazines, and effing flew once to NOLA to see you from New York State, it was super crappy today to see you all over the press with a member using homophobic language to describe a tour with Disturbed. Super not effing cool in 2021. Or is it just a costume to y'all? I love your music and I'm super pissed at the casual disregard and privilege it takes to still use gay as a negative word in 2021 and normalize that kind of association. not supporting the band anymore unless there is a formal apology, and will actively tell as many metalheads as I know, not that it will make a difference, but I would really like to see you reprimand that crap and own it. Not cool. Total BS. I literally bought the last CD copy of Life's Blood from you guys at Contamination like 20 years ago and feel like a total dog do today after reading that Brent lazy BS. So Daler actually replied, and he said the following. This really bums me out. I'm very sorry we hurt your feelings or anyone else's. That is never our intention. We want our LGBTQ fans to feel safe listening to our music and coming to see us live. We have no ill will towards Disturbed. They were always super cool to us on the Mayhem tour. I think that interviewer might have caught Brent on a bad day. Sorry for upsetting you or anyone else. We appreciate you and all of our fans very much.
I remember that I used to have energy. I used to care about bands and wanting to make things better or whatever, and I don't anymore.
Oh, man, I lost it. I mean, like, yeah, not to get too personal about it, but it's like in 2016 with the Trump presidency and just seeing how everybody in America was still the same shitty people they've always been, at least like 48% of America. I was really angry for a really long time. I would just go at this shit constantly. I never rested. I would always try to blow this shit up and like make a huge deal about this stuff. But it's like, ah, fuck him. Don't listen to his music. You know, there's other bands. If you don't like them, like, just fuck it. Just fuck them. Like, they, you know, they don't deserve it if they're going to be shitty. Just move on, you know?
That's kind of how I feel about it, man. Everything in the world is in a fucking free fall. Like, the bottom is approaching. And I don't think I have it in me to try to, you know, hold people accountable for saying something dumb when they've had an entire 20 years to show you that they're like an incorrigible drunken piece of shit.
Yeah, like if, you know, not to, because it's good they got called out, like, you know, with Morgan Evans going at Bron Daler that way. It's really unfortunate that Bron had to speak for Brent. Like, I'll say that many times. That happened last time when Brent Hines went off about how much heavy metal sucks and he hates it. Like, he did the same thing. It was Damage Control again, talking about, oh, Brent was just in a bad mood. And it's like, stop sticking up for him. Like, make him say something, you know?
Exactly. You don't have to do this, man. Like, make the guy do it. If he won't do it, don't. There you go. There's your answer.
Like, send a text message to the guy and just say, hey, jump on your Instagram and just fucking stick up for yourself for once. Like,
seriously.
You know, grow the fuck up. Stop. You know, stop throwing the band under the bus and fucking us over because you can't get your shit together.
Yeah, man. We've got more dudes and shit, so, like, fucking do your job.
They do. They really do. Like, this is definitely a band that still has mortgages. Like, that's just where they're at.
Yeah, so, they're working, like, every night of the week. I mean, they got to make that money. They're not swimming in dough. They're a working band.
So not to kind of bury the lead here too much, but to get back to what Brent Hines said, he did say, I get a lot of tours I didn't want to do, though, like Disturbed and all that Mayhem stupid bullshit, gay-ass shit. So he had essentially called the band Disturbed gay-ass shit.
Yes.
And he did it in a way that was public and out there on the internet. And, you know, he got soundbited there because he deserved to. And, believe it or not, the members of Disturbed use the internet and they hear these things, and therefore they had to respond.
I'm sure that David Draymond, upstanding, you know, proud Zionist, has never done anything in any way similar, right?
No, of course not. And I'm sure he just shook his head in shame and his chin tusks just went side to side as he did.
Went jangle, jangle, jangle.
Jangle, jangle. Man, stupidest piercing. I'm glad that he's the only person on earth to get that one piercing, though. Nobody else did that. No one.
Yeah, no, but there wasn't like a bunch of teens like crowding at Claire's to like try to copy the Draymond.
Right. Like, I've not seen a single Hot Topic employee that went that far. I've seen like where they like gauge out a hole in their bottom lip area so that you see their like nasty tobacco stained teeth like through.
Have you seen one of my favorite images for a long time on the internet was the deathcore kid that got his cheeks gauged out?
Right. just looking like a complete dumbass. Like, don't you guys still have jobs?
He looked fucking like he was about to cry. Like, I have made a huge mistake.
Just, I can only assume that there must be some kind of heightened rate of infection if you leave an open hole in your fucking face, but...
You have no idea!
Jesus Christ, but okay, so Draymond says, you know, I have nothing but the greatest respect and admiration for the Mastodon guys. I have been a fan since day one. I continue to be a fan. I think that there's just too much mutual respect and admiration. And they knew it. They knew we liked them. We were cool with each other throughout our touring times together. We are genuine fans. He continued, it was surprising to say the least. And you know what, Brent? I hope that, just know from my end, I bear no ill will. And if at any given point in time, those guys are somewhere and we can break bread and have a drink together, I'm always down. I don't hold it against them or him or anything. Too often, these things are made more of what than they really should be. Everything is trying to pit one musician against another musician. Who knows? Maybe he was having a bad day, and maybe it is like what the Mastodon guys said. Who knows? God knows I haven't had all glorious moments in my past in the press. So everybody's human, and I don't begrudge anyone. It's all good.
Draymond followed up his comments with
Oh, yeah, that too. There it is. Yeah. He punctuates every sentence with it, actually.
I don't know, man. This is all so fucking stupid. And I hate that, like, David Draymond seems like a reasonable human in all of this. Like, he's not completely insane.
Yeah, and I get the point where it's like, musicians trying to pit each other together, but he called your band gay ass shit. Like, what are you gonna? You don't get to just say, like, anything about that? That's such a bummer. I love beef, man.
I know. If I were in the same position, you know, I would probably be like scoreboard with album sales or whatever.
Oh, of course. Right.
But, you know, I'm just a hateful, spiteful bitch.
Oh, yeah. But of course, if he put up the scoreboard with the album sales, like, I would have given him shit for that. Because that's, you know, that's a lame that's a lame cop out, but it would have made Brent feel bad. So it would have gotten the job done.
Exactly. And that's what you want to do. We've spent a pretty fair amount of time here talking about Mastodon, which is a band that, you know, for the most part, I think people generally agree is a good band. Right.
I guess I think most people talk shit about them these days. If I'm in my underground circles, like they talk about them like the way people talk about Metallica when they put out Load and Reload, which I don't know, might be fair, but
yeah, but you guys have been talking about like Mastodon doing their Load and Reload era shit for way longer than Metallica did their Load and Reload shit.
You know what? I think that might be true. I think that, you know, the world is that was here when I was a child is now gone, and I am aging severely, and I need to recognize that and move on. So what else has been going on in the old news sphere?
Oh man. So, I am loath to, bring this up. That's not even true. I love this shit. I'm like a fucking pig rolling around in his own excrement. I fucking live for this shit. Kid Rock put out a new single, yesterday. And, it's something else. I think that it would be good for us to give this a little listen, give it a little bit of analysis, do some deep reading of, Bob Ritchie, the richest kid from Romeo, Michigan, really letting his freak flag fly, if that's okay.
It calls out the SJWs, Joe. It calls out the pussies, you know. Mm-hmm. We're just all these generations of sissy snowflakes, man. This song really puts them in their place.
I listened to this, right? Because I was seeing it blow up all over. People are like, LMAO and all of that stuff. I listened to this song, and my first reaction to this was like, this is maybe the first decently sounding song he's put out since, you know, like the 90s.
Yeah, like this is probably the best song he's put out since like American Badass.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought up that exact comparison of American Badass, because, you know, American Badass was built entirely off Metallica's Blackened, right?
Right.
And this one, I thought, you know, this music actually sounds competent. Like, it sounds pretty good to me. And that's because it's just sampled this Canadian hard rock band called Monster Truck, their song called Don't Tell Me How to Live. Oh. So the same thing with, like, American Badass. It's just that song. And then they paste in, you know, a chorus there. His own band didn't write anything.
Per usual, right? They had like, you know, Sweet Home Alabama or Werewolves of London. I can't remember.
The fucking worst, dude. It's talking about Sweet Home Alabama, but he's using the fucking riff from Werewolves of London by fucking Warren Zevon. Like, ugh.
It's bad times, man. Bad times. But you know what? Don't Tell Me How to Live. That's the name of the Kid Rock song as well. He didn't even change the title. He didn't even
care. No, and he used like the it's a fucking Canadian rock band that's handled all of the instrumentation and handled the chorus. He's don't tell me how to live. You know, he's doing that fucking ham sandwich voice or whatever.
The ham sandwich voice, yeah.
Yeah, it's just it sounds like a ham sandwich. And you know, he's just copying and pasting that into the chorus because it was the chorus in the original song. So I think maybe firing the, what was it? The, Twisted Brown Trucker Band, back in the 90s was a big mistake. So he had to, you know, farm it out to Monster Truck to create his crushing jams.
Yeah. So, so it's like a Canadian badass.
Yeah, exactly. So like all of this like horseshit about American exceptionalism, it is built on immigrant labor. Let's be clear here.
Well, it's about time we stop screwing around. So let's get into this smash Canadian hit, which I just loved and appreciated so much. And I think the best way possible for us to honor this masterwork is a dramatic reading. Do you agree?
I agree with you entirely.
Okay. So I have the lyrics in front of me. Do we want to do it? I do one little paragraph here and you do the next one.
Yeah. Let's swap them stanza to stanza. Do you want to start it off with the beginning here? A definitive statement, I believe.
Okay. Fuck all you hoes. Detroit till I die, motherfucker. Talking all that bullshit. Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live.
I am a moonshine sipper straight slipping in the darkness. Far from heartless, I'm more like the sharpest tool in the shed. No, I've never been the smartest. But make no mistake, I hit the fucking hardest.
Devil without a cause, you heard me scream it. And 20 years later, bitch, I still fucking mean it. Bucka, you ain't never met a motherfucker like this. Kiss my ass, then you can suck a dick sideways. My way or the highway, listen up. Ain't nothing changed here, and I still don't give a fuck. So what the fuck's up with all the backlash, you snowflakes? Here's a news flash. Ain't
nobody
gonna tell me
how to live. Years ago, we all thought it was a joke, see? That every kid got a motherfucking trophy. But yo, homie, here's the situation. A nation of pussies is our next generation. And these minions and their agendas, every opinion has a millennial offended. But this Amendment 1, it rings true. And if you don't dissent, bitch, then see number 2.
Ain't nothing new, right church, wrong pew. Get a clue, a crew, your fake news and views can all get the bottom of my motherfucking shoe. I'm the last of a few still screaming, fuck you.
Ain't nobody
gonna tell me how to live. Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live. Oh, I'm gonna soar like an eagle. My wings will carry me away. I got the heart of a lion. I get stronger every day.
You'll never tell me shit. You'll never flip my script. Because I'm more outrageous than the Vegas Strip. You're like Mayberry, bitch. I'm hard and crisp. High risk, hillbilly. But I'm filthy rich. You're like Milli Vanilli, kinda silly and shit. I'm like Shotgun Willie, smoking fillies and shit.
I am like Reverend Run or David Lee Roth. Like Springsteen, bitch, I'm the motherfucking boss. James Dean, shit, I'm more like Brad Pitt. A little less pretty, but I slang more dick. I twang more riffs. I slide through grass. I rip more lines than a 10-pound bass. Pass the mic. I'm like Slow Gin Fizz.
Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Pretty aggressive. I feel like this is a pretty sharp deviation from his bro country kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, a little mean. But you know, not really pulling any punches on this one. He's kicking ass and taking names, man.
I mean, like all of the standard things you can say about this, like this is, you know, incredibly ignorant or whatever, of course, but I will say this is better than most of the shit he's been doing for better part of 2 decades.
It's definitely quite the callback. I wonder if he saw that Limp Bizkit was making headlines again and thought he'd get in on that old early 2000s nostalgia, you know?
I had the exact same thought. Like, you know, Limp Bizkit just put out an album that sounds like, you know, old Limp Bizkit. And he's like, well, I sold a shit ton of records of Devil Without a Cause. What if I just tried to do that again and just do a hint of, you know, just a taste of the ignorant jingoist bullshit I've been doing for quite a while. And I'll be honest with you, I think it works. I think this is exactly what would help his career, where he doesn't necessarily have to keep playing fish fries.
Possibly. I think the fish fry music is probably the most lucrative these days, but
who knows?
Because
it is a little bit misguided. He's hoping to get back onto festivals and stuff like that. He can't, you know, do like, I'll shoot you because you're a pussy who got a participation trophy. That doesn't really jive. I have not seen that work out for an artist yet, but maybe, I don't know, maybe he's a legacy den or something.
I don't know, man. He should go away. I'm sure he has enough money at this point to retire permanently.
I mean, he got a fucking trust fund, like, to begin with. He didn't have to do any of this stuff to begin with.
Right, like, you weren't, like, some dirty reject from Detroit. Like, he tried to really spin the poor kid narrative, but
he was a fucking gas station attendant from, you know, Detroit or whatever, but, you know, he's a rich kid from outside of Detroit and, you know, just hired everybody that he could to give him that authenticity that he just never had. I don't know. I take some umbrage with a couple of lines in here. I don't know if there's anything in particular that rubbed you the wrong way.
I mean, it's just, it's pretty, pretty typical, pretty simple. You know, he's just, like, man, I haven't heard someone legitimately use the term snowflakes and mean it in probably 8 years. So interesting, interesting take. I don't know. I think he's kind of missed out on this one. Too little, too late. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. On the other hand, I think this is just for somebody that doesn't really keep up with the times or trends. This is red meat for them. Like, if you were bothered to look at the comments in Blabbermouth, a bunch of dudes are like, "Finally, a song for me."
I mean, that's just the comment section of Blabbermouth. Like, not a single person is. I mean,
these guys have been like trying to get into Tom McDonald, and he just doesn't. You know, he's a little bit too. You know, he's a little bit too off. They can't quite buy into it. But this is something that, you know, gives them nostalgia. So this is what they're going to give their money for. That's what I'm seeing here anyway.
No, I mean, and that's fair. It just would be nice if we could move on as human beings, like newer, better things. Like one thing I rail on all the time is Spider-Man. Like, we don't need any more Spider-Man stuff. There was enough Spider-Man stories to keep us satiated for generations. We don't need any more movies. We don't need any more comics. We don't need any more shit. Let's try to make some new heroes, some new movies, you know, some new superpowers, things like that. And I feel the same way about music. Like, let's try to not make anything like Kid Rock ever fucking again. How does that sound? You know? And so, it sucks when a guy like this, can decide at any moment to steal from the spotlight of bands that are actually good and just come out and do the same old shit he was doing in 2001 to a fucking T, like, exactly. And everyone gets super, super stoked about it when they're dumb, like the people in these comment sections.
Yeah, I agree with you on all of this, all of the points you've made. But at the same time, this is the dog shit culture that we have foisted on us, and so it's what we gotta deal with. I want to call out a couple of lines from the song because they were, I don't know, just off-putting to me. I don't really want to talk about like the participation trophies or pussies or any of that stuff. But I'd like to discuss the latter verses specifically.
Okay.
This line here, you'll never tell me shit, you'll never flip my script, because I'm more outrageous than the Vegas Strip. You've been to Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, it's not that outrageous.
No, it is the most Disney-fied place on earth. It's in, like, nothing goes wrong. It's just a bunch of fucking drunk Minnesotans.
Yeah, That's really it. Just like a consumer theme park.
Yes, if you have like $1,000, that is the best place on earth, and you're like easily entertained.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you get a lot for spending very little. Like, you'll go to a casino, and very good-looking women will just hand you free drinks if you're playing like these fucking nickel slots and stuff. Like, it's a great place to be if you kind of have chump money to just throw away.
Yeah, if you have a little bit of chump money, people will fucking wipe your ass for you. Like, it is the most baby soft place on earth.
Yeah, like the main strip especially. There are some seedy places of Las Vegas, don't get me wrong, but
yes, and those are the fun places. Like, if you go into, and even then, like, they've really redone downtown, which is, I thought, was a lot of fun a few years ago, which it's a little bit more, you know, strip like now. I'm not a fan of that.
Right.
Anyway, he continues on. You're like Mayberry, bitch. I'm hard and crisp. And that doesn't really make sense. It's whatever. High risk hillbilly, but I'm filthy rich. Yes, you were born rich. You're like Milli Vanilli, kind of silly and shit, which I get, you know, Milli Vanilli is like an internal rhyme, so that works for the song or whatever, but nobody has given a shit about Milli Vanilli in 35 years.
Yeah, no one knows who Milli Vanilli is.
Yeah, and follows it up with, I'm like Shotgun Willie smoking Phillies and shit. And again, the only similarity between Kid Rock and Willie Nelson is that, you know, I guess Kid Rock likes to smoke weed too. But, like, you don't get to horn in on Willie Nelson's thing. He's been smoking weed for longer than you've been alive. You can't steal his sunshine.
Willie Nelson would have wouldn't even have an iota of respect for anything going on in this song.
No, absolutely not.
No.
The final verse here, this is one that really got me pretty good. I'm like Reverend Ron or David Lee Roth. And I don't think he's like either one of those things. Again, I have massive respect for David Lee Roth.
He is white, so he's nothing like Reverend Rund. And then he is not talented, so he's nothing like David Lee Roth or charismatic, you know.
Charismatic especially. David Lee Roth, just an ocean of charisma, whereas fucking Bob Ritchie, fuck you. Anyway, like Springsteen, bitch, I'm the motherfucking boss. Springsteen has spent the last 20 years of his life vacationing with fucking Barack Obama.
Right.
That's all he does now. He's not the motherfucking boss. He's the fucking, like, NPR god. James Dean, shit, I'm more like Brad Pitt. A little less pretty, but I slang more dick. This is the line that really got me, though, because Brad Pitt fucked Robin Givens in front of Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson cried. You will never slang more dick than him.
Never, never. I'm sure all of the dick slanging done by Kid Rock was more on like the Jeremy Spencer level, like fucking in the like porta potties and just getting HPV and all that shit.
Yeah, I mean the only evidence that we have of Kid Rock fucking is he either got or gave hepatitis C to Pamela Anderson. And
so was everybody, you know.
And that sex tape that he did with fucking the guy from Creed.
the only line that I just appreciate and I think is like raw talent is I rip more lines than a 10-pound bass. I'm just like, that's a little fishing nugget there.
It's fishing, but it's also cocaine.
No, I know
and
that.
He's ripping lines. He's a cool dude that does drugs. He's like, buddy, you're in your 50s. Your heart is not really equipped to rip a bunch of lines right now, bro.
Every single line that Kid Rock rips is closer and closer to his last line ripped. So
yes,
we'll see you on the other side, brother.
And then he concludes the verse with pass the mic. I'm like slow gin fizz. Have you ever had a slow gin fizz?
No.
It's a shitty drink for old women.
Yeah.
It sucks. Nobody likes it.
I feel like this is shitty music for old women.
Kind of, yeah. And you know, guys that post on Blabbermouth their weird fantasies about transgender people.
Kid Rock fans are just like those ladies that when they close their mouth, it's a little too closed. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. The lip line disappears entirely.
Right. Just the teeth just aren't there to support the face anymore. So it just kind of gets sunken in.
Anyway, I hope he does. Okay. That's my closing thought on this Kid Rock thing.
Yeah, I'm not threatening him
in a number of years, and I hope he does.
Yeah, it's just he's old. I hope I outlast him greatly. That's all I can say. So yeah, man, that's I think we'll put a pin in that one. Is there anything else that caught your eye this week?
Yeah, you know, just a couple of. I don't really want to get on the topical train too much right now. We're gonna transition from, you know, the news of the week. So we have to stop playing the cool hard rock riff we've been playing for the last 45 minutes. What have you been listening to lately? Like, what's been grooving you?
I like the new Archspire.
I haven't heard it yet.
It's it's got album songs like Drone Corpse Aviator. So, you know, you pretty much, it's like you haven't heard it before, but once you start hearing it, you're like, oh, this music, I've heard this before. So it's really not new or special, but it's like, it's just really good, overly done technical death metal.
Yeah, no, I met their vocalist once and he really rubbed me the wrong way. So I stopped listening to the band back then.
Oh, did you? How did he rub you the wrong way?
He's kind of an, you know what, whatever. I'm sure he's a fine person. He just struck me as an asshole. Anyway,
just had a bad day. Maybe we'll apologize on his behalf.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine or whatever. I'm not telling tales out of school.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard it yet. I should give it a listen though, because I haven't listened to them in I'm gonna say two album cycles now.
Yeah, you know, I don't listen to new metal music too much. I mean, I probably gave the new Obscura a spin, but I wasn't really present for it. So It's just, I mean, that's the same thing with Artspire, is I just kind of let albums like that go. It's just background noise. It's just constant snare, constant whittly whittlies, constant death metal vocals. And it's just not music that I can pay attention to, so I don't. It's definitely like ADHD kid music, so.
I've never been super into, I guess, modern technical death metal, because I feel like, I don't know, I'm not. It's the production for me, where it all kind of just feels like shiny plastic or whatever. It just doesn't groove with me at all.
It's just not raw enough, you know, like everything is so technically precise. It's produced exactly right. You know what I mean? And a lot of the times, to make it as clean as possible, like, they will have a real drummer, obviously, because they're touring and stuff like that. But most of the time it's programmed drums, and it just kind of comes out sounding like, I don't know, Justin Bieber.
It's like, I don't care about authenticity or whatever. It just doesn't sound good to me is all. And if you like that, that's fine. I'm glad that there are bands doing it for you. It's just never grooved my shit, I guess. But a thing that I've been listening to a lot lately, and I don't know if it's, I think it's out soon. I don't know if, because Jordan sent me the promo for it. But Andrew Lee put out an instrumental shred record, and it is full on just like early 90s cheese shit, and it is doing it for me for real.
Wait, who put it out?
Andrew Lee, the guy from Ripped to Shreds.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, like the old school death metal revival act or whatever, it's just full on like Tony McAlpine, like, we're shredding. That's what we're doing for 40 minutes. We're going to shred and you're going to like it.
We're just going to do metal band stuff on a metal album. And that's the deal.
And I hadn't thought about it in a while, but I was listening to it this morning and it reminded me of Kenny G's kid, his prog shred band. And I was like, man, I wish those guys would do something again.
Aw, man. It's really cool when, like, you got random celebrities' kids just making music, and then like nobody really gets into it, but it's not like bad music. It's just, I don't know, they don't usually have anything to their sound except, you know, the money to produce it.
My wife is really into L. King. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, that's Rob Schneider's daughter.
Yeah.
She put out that terrible song that I used in the background of all my man commercials that I do on this show.
I'm a man, boy, turn to make to a man.
Not my thing. Not my thing.
She did one about like getting drunk at a wedding, and the video is actually like, it is outstanding. It looks like it was filmed on a 90s handycam, like just people with big hair drinking Keystone. It's good. I don't know.
I did really see that music video and hear that song while I was eating at a Texas Roadhouse.
Fuck, dude. You're living the dream right there.
I don't know if you're familiar with Texas Roadhouse being from Texas, seeing as how every roadhouse you guys have is a Texas Roadhouse.
When I did eat meat years ago, the Texas Roadhouse was a very special occasion, because you know, if you're going to go to a chain restaurant, go all out with it. Fucking throw your peanut shells on the floor, eat an entire loaf of bread. Like, why not?
Dude, that cinnamon butter is metal as fuck. Like, my wife hates the place because she hates how those, like, miserable teenagers have to line dance and and how they, like, they just blare music like the L.E. King song we're talking about. And it's all that shit. It's, like, the most polished pop rock level of country. And only recently have they started playing, like, the music videos that go along with those country songs. I really don't get excited at any of them until, like, Chattahoochee comes on or something. But
absolutely.
You know, other than that, it's like, not a great atmosphere. But, I mean, I'm filling my face with that nasty, nasty meat that they sell. It's so, it just makes my monkey brain scream with delight. So all the salt, all the fat, all the sugar. My arteries are permanently clogged as I come out there in a way that they weren't quite before. I fucking love Texas Roadhouse, man.
Yeah, man. If you're going to do like a chain novelty chain restaurant night, it's hard to go wrong with Texas Roadhouse.
Definitely. Fuck Chili's, you know, fuck Applebee's. It's all about the Roadhouse, man. Swallow the Sun put out a new album recently, which I heard was pretty good.
I haven't had a chance to listen to that one either, man. Like, it's been tough finding any time to even listen to anything now.
Well, it's called Moonflowers, and like I said, it's by the band Swallow the Sun, and it got a 9 out of 10 on Blabbermouth, which everything does, but hey, that's almost perfect, so.
That's pretty close. It's pretty close. Yeah, is there anything else that you've been, like, really grooving on? I like the new Mule. The new Mule is real good. I've been talking that one up for a while. Have you listened to it yet?
I have listened to that, and that was one of those things that, like, I've probably been working on a project that sounds a lot like that for a long time, just writing riffs, recording things in Reaper, just beating myself up for not getting it quite right. And then Mule put out that album, and I was like, forget it. I don't need to make the album, like the Black Gaze album I want to make, because they literally just put out the best one ever. And I'm the kind of person, when I recognize greatness and I recognize I'll never quite compare, so there's no point. So I postulate or whatever the word is myself to them. And I say, you know what? You guys have it. You're better than Death Heaven now. You're better than Ghost Bath by extremely far. You guys are really good. And I suggest everyone listen to that album, because it broke my spirit in that term. It's that good.
I hate that I know exactly what you're talking about too. Like, this is so good, and I'm actually a little bit mad about it.
Right, because I've had musical aspirations for a long time, and ever since I left my band, I've been trying to do my own thing. I've literally been writing riffs and, like, lyrics and stuff for years, and just getting rid of them, and, you know, just not thinking they're good enough. And, you know, it's because of albums like that. It's probably never going to see the light of day, and I'm kind of just giving up. So
it's tough, man. These guys have been working their asses off. They're, like, able to be in the same room as one another, and they're all really good musicians. So it's hard to beat that, you know?
Yeah. 'Cause I mean, being in the position that we're in as, I don't know, quote unquote journalists,
sure.
we'll get more into that in a different episode. We've been called quote unquote journalists a lot this week. But being in the position that we're in, I fucking hate, like, shitty Bandcamp instant metal that's done by some guy by himself in Reaper and with programmed drums, and they just throw it out as best as they can. And, you know, I don't want to shit on anybody's art, or I don't want to stop anybody from having fun. If that's what you do for fun, like, cool, man, go ahead. I'm glad you're doing this project and you're giving yourself something to do with your free time. But I just, listening to it as a metal fan, I just fucking hate it. And I am not going to put out an album like that. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to have a band. I'm going to pay a guy who knows what he's doing to produce the album. I just don't want to do it myself as much as I tried to. So yeah, man, it's probably not going to happen again. Or if it does happen, it's not going to be for a very long time. And my hair is white. Like, any cool youth culture I want to be part of, like, I'm too old for it now. So
see, that's why I've been, like, playing country music, because you can just be an old piece of shit. You don't have to be young and hip for that.
I'm just waiting for the day when the guys in Death Heaven are just clearly too old to be doing what they're doing anymore, and I can just, you know, not do that also. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
But I think that George Clark might keep up, like, a Mick Jagger kind of thing, like, you know, 70 years old trying to hang on to youth, like it's a possibility somehow.
I think the thing that's happened in music most recently that's depressed me about my age the most is I've seen a recent music video released by the band Hawthorne Heights. Now, if anyone listening is under the age of 32, you have probably no idea who Hawthorne Heights are, but they were one of those screamo bands that was just...
Scratch my wrist and black my eyes!
They were just poppy enough to be played in Target without anybody getting mad, but they had that little bit of edge, and they had the swoopy haircuts and the lip rings. They were...
I'm just going to be doing Hawthorne Heights bits while you're talking.
They were exactly that band. They were perfect for the time that they came out at, right? So there's really no reason for them to try to release new music or try to be relevant because it's impossible. It's simply fucking impossible.
It was music made by very skinny early 20s dudes specifically for 14-year-olds, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, if you weren't in high school from the years 2001 to 2005 or 02 to 06 or something like that, totally irrelevant to today and forever. But I saw these guys put out the music video and I just saw my age happen in them. Like, I looked at them and I looked at how they fucking looked doing this, and I was just, I felt my mortality harder than ever. It's just, we're all trudging to that same fate and there's nothing we can do.
I saw that video and I thought to myself, like, I am slightly younger, but not like much, than these dudes. And I know that one day it's all just going hurtling off a cliff, and it's going to be me wearing a fucking newsboy cap, just like trundling down the shelves at Whole Foods, just shitty and old. And I, you know what? You can't do anything about it. It's inevitable.
It's totally inevitable. I mean, think of all the people who try to keep looking hot in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. They look terrible. Like, I would just rather you just be the age that you are. Like, if you try to do the plastic surgery thing, you look like a lizard mutant. You don't look like a human anymore. You certainly don't look attractive. And, yeah, it's just a bummer. Like, am I really going to be making black gaze music with my fucking pudgy body and a polo shirt and white hair? Just no one wants that. It's just, I'm aged out, man. It's over.
Yeah. Again, I can't stress this enough. Like, we should be exploring genres where you can be shitty and old. Like, we could be jazz musicians. We could be white man blues musicians.
And that's
never
the thing about
that. Never, ever do that.
That's the thing about extreme music, is it's just so youth culture driven. And we have to accept that that's the reality. It's just immature music. Because when you see an old metalhead, like a guy who's in his 40s and 50s, just like still trying to talk to 20-somethings on Twitter about it, like, that's so fucking sad. That's so lame. I got plenty of people off the top of my head that we can talk about being exactly that kind of lame, and they've since been bullied off these spaces because you shouldn't be a 40 or 50-year-old using Twitter. You should stop immediately. And it's just like, it's going to be me, man. It's coming up. I only got a few years left. So,
the way that we look at youth in this country is pretty warped, and it leads to some disastrous results for a whole shit ton of people. Just like accepting that you're going to be older and shittier and uglier. Like, that's fine. It's fine. I think that we should stop trying to hold on to the last remaining shreds of being cool and hip, and just have fun. You don't have to try to wear, you know, leather pants that don't fit you anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the emo dad haircut. You can just be a normal kind of guy and enjoy listening to the music you enjoy listening to, and, you know, write the music you want to write. But maybe change some of the aesthetics a little bit so it doesn't look like you're trying to be a cool dad. Just a normal dad is fine.
I'm just stoked for the day that, and I mean, it's already happening. I just, you know, I'm denying it, but I'm stoked for the day that, you know, millennials as a generation, we're just nothing but overly tattooed MILFs and DILFs. Like, that's okay. Yep. You know? Yep. We'll be the next generation of cougars. That's fine by me. So,
I think that we're like there, dude. I think that the times that it's already happening.
All right. Well, this kitty's got to take off then. Do you have any closing thoughts before we let everybody go finally?
If you're in the DFW area, I'm moving there in like 2 weeks. So let's hang out and stuff. It'll be fun.
Yeah, if you want to hear old guys talk about metal, we're both good for that.
Yeah. So. Oh, and by the way, like, I know this show is coming out Wednesday, so it does no good anymore. But tonight, I'm going to go watch Sunday Night Football at Chili's on 41st Street. So meet me there.
Yeah. if you didn't meet him there, if you just happened to not catch him on this recording that's too late, then oh well, maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
All right, everybody, keep it metal, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.